Right now it's time for your Encourage Community Foundation update. Your Community Foundation is located at 478 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. That's right across from Hotel Mead. Their phone number is 715-423-3863. And with us, we have Chelsea Mazurek and Jenna Moran. We're going to be talking about the Tribune Building and also about a picnic. I love picnics. And I've got the date down and I've already circled it. Because I know when Carol gets back from vacation, I'm going to be getting this. Carol, you helped us the last 2 years with being the announcer.
You got it, Carl. I'm sure we'll be tapping your shoulder again.
Okay. Well, count me in.
All right. Great,
okay.
You.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to talk about. So let's talk about the Tribune Building. We're getting into an interesting time with that whole project.
Yeah. You know, it's wonderful. And I, as project manager, it's interesting to be able to see kind of everything start to converge. And we're hitting a really exciting milestone. But what I thought would be helpful today for our listeners is I realize some people have been very engaged in the whole process, but others have not potentially, you know, known what's going to go into the building.
Or they've heard stuff.
Yeah.
And,
so I thought it could be helpful.
Secondhand stuff.
Right.
And
right. Thought it could be helpful to kind of recap where we've been, what's coming up now, and you know,
and
when we're shooting for construction start. So.
Right. Yeah. People are going, why Encourage involved? What is this? Why?
Exactly. So Encourage purchased the Tribune Building, the former Daily Tribune Building on the Wisconsin River at the end of 2012. And our intent was solely that residents could decide what would go in it.
Did you, after you purchased it, did you find that one briefcase I left behind there?
Yes, with a lot of money. Yes. No.
Oh, we sure did.
For those of you who wonder, the Tribune, a lot of you understand that, but the lower level was the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And the upper part was the newspaper. And those days, that was a bustling place.
Yeah, exactly. It really was, and that's what we intend for it
to be
again.
Right.
You know, and that was our intent, too, was that we didn't want to destroy history and knock down that building. It was really all about restoring and making new.
And it was, as I talked about, and I've heard it on this program before, and in the city, why do we always tear down our history in this town? Other cities restore stuff. We're always tearing it down.
Yeah, no, it's a very unique building, holds a lot of history for our community, and a gorgeous location. I mean, you couldn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
After we purchased it, you know, we brought the community together with our partners at Concordia, our design firm, who really specialize in resident-centered process.
And they're from New Orleans.
From New Orleans, exactly. And, have done similar work after Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans and throughout the country of bringing together neighborhoods and communities to decide what they want their community to be and have as you know, a milestone or a capstone of their community. So we've had actually now 14 community meetings.
Wow.
Over the last, yeah, started in October of 2013, and we just had our 14th meeting last week. But phase one was really broken into idea sharing, starting with almost 1,000 ideas that the community brought for what could go into that building, and bringing it down to the programmatic areas that will now be in the building. So really going to be a combination of business generating, you know, revenue generating sources, including a cafe space, brew pub kind of feel, where we'll actually serve the local brews that will be made in that building with a microbrewery, a culinary kitchen, a maker space, and then also some youth spaces. So there will be community space as well. Youth spaces, meeting spaces. The thing that I'm most excited about is a gorgeous rooftop space, because I truly believe that is the best view of Wisconsin Rapids that not a lot of people have been able to see yet, but being able to go up and have a beer and some local food and enjoy company of your neighbors up on that rooftop is going to be amazing.
Yeah, that will be, especially on a day like today. That is going to be the place for lunch and dinner.
You got it. Exactly. And so then phase two really focused on, and that was six meetings, that really focused on the design. So looking at the look and feel of the building, how do we want these spaces to interact? How are we hoping that the building will be designed? Are we, you know, trying to maintain the mid-century modern look and feel of that building? And that's really what we discussed. We also, at that point, received the Art Place America grant that allowed for us to seek out proposals from artists to help tell the community's story through permanent installations of art in that building. And so the community helped us come up with which stories needed to be told throughout that space. And now we're working with 7 artists who will be working through the design process with our architect to determine where exactly and how exactly their art will be featured.
Where are the artists from?
Yeah, they're from all over. Great question. We actually have 7 total artists, 3 of which are from Wisconsin, and 4 of which either currently reside in, or I shouldn't say from Wisconsin, currently live in Wisconsin, 4 of which either currently reside in Southwood County or have a direct connection to it. So we have a gentleman who graduated from Lincoln, now lives in Minnesota, okay. But a recent graduate from Lincoln High School. Then we also have a couple of artists that are throughout the nation. So one is in Colorado, and the other... Texas. Thank you. I was looking to Jenna because she's been working very closely with the artist, too. And I couldn't remember if he was from Texas or... But anyway, so being able to kind of bring in expertise that they have and the installations they've done throughout the nation. One of them was a finalist for the 9/11 Memorial in New York City for art. And so bringing in that kind of expertise to be able to share our knowledge and practices with the community and local artists, we're really excited about.
When you talk to, especially the ones, say, from outside the area, who the national ones, what attracted them to this project?
Oh, this really unique process and the story that we have as a community to be able to talk about our history and where we've come from, where we've been, and have that respect for history, but how we've come together as a community to really renew and revitalize.
That's one of the reason I asked that.
Yeah.
Another thing I don't think people realize. This is getting national recognition. This project is getting national recognition. The eyes on that. Do not be surprised, just like with the Centralia Center project, which ended up getting a front page story on the USA Today. Don't be surprised if somewhere down the line you see some national stories or reporters coming to Wisconsin Rapids to go, how did you folks do this?
Absolutely, and we are already getting those contacts, and I think they will only increase once that building actually becomes operational and functional. And revitalize.
And that's all in part of trying to promote your community. When you have stuff like this happening, business people and entrepreneurs go, check that out, will you?
Yeah. And we really see it as an opportunity for a spark. I mean, you see what the city is doing with the East Riverbank now and their interest in that project and all of this kind of building on each other, you know, the interest in downtown investments and those sorts of things.
Sure.
It's all converging, and so it's wonderful to be able to see and experience firsthand, and I'm privileged to do that in my work.
Well, this was part of the idea, that this would be a kind of a catalyst.
Exactly.
And this wasn't going to just be the beginning and end of everything downtown. This was just going to be something, hey, we did this with this, we can do this with anything.
Right, it's a start, exactly, and a central gathering place, and that's really, you know, some of the downtown plans that the city has done. That's what is interesting and what we're looking for in this space.
I don't know if you caught, there was an article a couple of Sundays ago in the travel section of the Journal Sentinel, and it had to do with a brew pub gathering area in the Twin Cities. And it was in an old warehouse district, and it's been developed by this. Now it's not like a community, but it has become a community gathering space. And they've got bands there. They have, of course, the microbrewery, and they got food and everything else. But people gather because it's a gathering spot. And Pam and I were reading the article, and I go, yeah, this is a private development, but it's along the same lines of what you're trying to do with this project.
Seeing the parallels with the Tribune building, absolutely. So, you know, a central gathering place, a place that really holds up and honors entrepreneurial spirit, mm-hmm. and thinking about the business opportunities that can spin out of that. So not only will there be jobs created through the Tribune building, but hopefully in the spin-offs of the small businesses that could be created through the Makerspace or Culinary Kitchen.
Since we're talking about that, one question I've been asked, and I said mm-hmm. I would ask you, and mm-hmm. maybe it's one that you have been asked. People are going, well, who's going to be determining what entrepreneurs can operate in there.
Sure. Sure. So I think, you know, what we're looking at right now is actually the operational model for the building, and we have a wonderful partner in Next Street. We've gotten funding from a national foundation, FB Heron Foundation, to be able to partner with Next Street to help together this operational model, because this is not just a one business going into this space. It's really multiple different spaces operating in the same place. So there will be, you know, opportunities that we're looking at right now about with the operators in the space, but then there will be the public opportunities for the Culinary Kitchen and the Makerspace that any entrepreneur can come in and work out of. So for instance, the Culinary Kitchen, you may not have a licensed kitchen facility, but you make a great salsa, Carl, right? And you can come in and you can make that salsa in this licensed kitchen that could then be sold. You can sell your product, but you don't have to make the investment of making your own kitchen. That's a very expensive investment.
It's
an incubator, exactly. So it's the starting point for all of these businesses that kind of start the engine to then hopefully they are making enough, you know, money that they can then open their own space or, you know, whatever it may be.
And then it reopens it for another person.
Exactly. And you know, we'll be looking at selling retail of some of the products that are made right in that space. You know, the makers, the woodworkers. I mean, there's lots of interest and endless possibilities.
What about the brewery itself and the brew pub and the restaurant? Is that going to be somewhere where you bid it out, or how is that going to be done?
Yeah, so we're working right now. We have project advisors in Mark Butera from Oso Brewing Company, okay, as well as Amy and Ryan Scheid from Great Expectations, who have been advising the project for us because I am not a microbrewer and definitely don't have the expertise on how to set the equipment up. So they've been working with us to talk through some of the thought process on those pieces, but also then thinking about, you know, if you have an operator in there, what does that mean for other home brewers, for instance, interested in learning the art and potentially then doing their, you know, spinning off. And Mark is very invested, especially in entrepreneurs and the brewing industry, that there is not enough of that, enough of training and enough of the work that can be done. Okay. And so we're exploring all of that, but we're kind of paving new ground, if you will, you know, and so it's something we're exploring and talking through right now. So hopefully more to come.
Okay. So you had that meeting and you're starting to get from this most recent meeting, you're starting to get all this together.
Exactly.
Now, where do you go from here?
Yeah, so we just had our, you know, like I said, our 14th meeting this past week, and now are kind of taking a pause on the formal meetings for the summer, but we have interest groups now. So we have microbrewers that are very interested, or homebrewers that are interested in the microbrewery, who are going and talking with Mark at Oso to learn his, you know, his business. So those sorts of things are happening. We also have the last opportunity throughout this summer to take a tour of the building, of the space, with Helen Youngworth, our former board chair and former publisher of the Tribune, who worked in that building for a very long time and can talk about the history, but now you can see what it can become. But then we were just in Madison yesterday meeting with both Concordia and with Findorf, who is our construction manager out of Madison, and all of the engineers, so Jewel and Quest from Wisconsin Rapids coming down and meeting so that we can continue our plans to move forward. Right now we're slated to break ground in mid-September to start construction.
So, folks, he said, for those, at next time you hear someone say, well, it's not going to happen, we're already talking about construction in September. But there's another event, and it kind of ties into this.
Sure does.
Yeah, because we've been having this community picnic. And the last couple of years, I've been honored and privileged to be your local grounds announcer. You know, just with some introduce the acts and make some announcements that needed to be made. And that was my giving to the project. Well, we're moving that picnic downtown this year on August 5th from 4:30 to 8 p.m. And just like with the ones at Red Sands Beach, it's a totally free gathering. And except you got to be downtown by the Tribune building. Okay. And I take it that's why we did this.
Yes.
Right. And this is where Jenna is going to... Chelsea talked about the history. Jenna's going to talk about the community picnic.
Absolutely. So, Carl, as you're aware, the past 3 years, we've had the picnic at Lake Wazeecha, Red Sands Beach, and it has been an absolutely wonderful partnership with Wood County Parks and Forestry.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you bring it up. It's not because you're unhappy with...
Correct. Absolutely. It was absolutely wonderful there. And unfortunately, though, it was just kind of getting to capacity. The picnic has... you know, gotten very popular, which is wonderful.
Well, that's a nice problem to have with the picnic.
Yes, absolutely. So, yes, nothing to do with problems. We've had a wonderful partnership with Wood County Parks and Forestry, so it was great. But we knew that we were getting that capacity, so given our investment and interest in downtown recently, we thought we'd just bring it right downtown by the Tribune, and the city has approved that, which was great, and so now picnic planning is just in full swing. I actually stepped out of my picnic planning meeting today to stop by you.
Oh, The question a lot of people, we've had festivals, and we're going to have, before this picnic, we're going to see everybody gather for the biggest 4th of July fireworks show north of Madison and Milwaukee. I mean, if you've never seen Wisconsin Rapids Fire, this is like a big city production. They don't do flares and stuff like that. It's all electronics and music and everything. It's amazing. And there's going to be a lot of people. So how are we going to arrange this picnic? Are things going to be on both sides of the river or just down by the Tribune building?
So right now we're planning on not having things on both sides of the river. It will be on the west side, right by on the Tribune building.
Okay.
First Avenue South, Johnson Street,
a little bit
of Second Avenue South.
Yeah. Okay.
Just really interested in the community partnerships and making it a more accessible location for everyone.
Okay. Are you going to have some displays by the Tribune building or something? And people are going to be walking around going, okay, that's the building that they've been
right.
talking about.
Well, right now we have a lot of our kids' activities in the parking lot nestled right in the Tribune building. And unfortunately, we'll be using the Tribune building for a lot of storage for all of the food that we're hoping to get. Yes. I think if people are hoping to go inside the Tribune building, they'll just see a lot of freezers and refrigerators.
Okay.
But I do think you will see some Tribune building signage informing, you know, new renderings, new photos, so that people can visualize what it will look like.
I don't know about the timeline about something like this, but maybe like a little brochure that could be handed out to folks. Here's what this is, take this and, you could highlight.
Exactly. Come visit us again in a year from then, but, come visit us again because this is what it will be.
Come here in September for the groundbreaking.
Oh, absolutely.
And something I would push, though, is that we do have tours, this summer still, so those most recent ones, or the soonest ones that will be happening are Thursday, June 23rd at 5:30, and Thursday, July 9th, also at 5:30.
And
if you get there's tours in still.
Yeah, and remember, TribuneBuilding.org. Mm-hmm. TribuneBuilding.org. That is the website. It's a free website. You can download anything and everything, every recorded minutes, memo, what you have.
A lot of our meeting summaries, all of the updated renderings released from Concordia, exterior, interior.
Yeah, and space is limited for those tours because there's just only so many people
we can
walk through the building, so we do want to make sure that you are
RSVP.
And the RSVP is on TribuneBuilding.org.
This studio was bigger than the newsroom back
in the Tribune building. Isn't that funny to think?
Hey, we were just thinking about that the other day, in fact.
Gosh. So, Carl, you have volunteered for us, like you mentioned, in the last 2 years, helping us to make announcements at the picnic and those sorts of things. And you're one person. We need a whole lot of you, a whole lot of volunteers to make this thing happen.
Yep. Okay. Yes. So a lot of us, like I'm going to be doing my thing. But you might have some culinary you've worked other picnics. Maybe you're the picnic guru at your church. We need you.
Yes,
exactly.
And the roles for volunteers are extremely diverse, and there are many available. Last year, we had almost 120 community residents as volunteers, and that's not including our staff and board.
And we all had fun.
It was huge.
And don't worry, you'll still have time to eat.
Yes, absolutely. We schedule those shifts that you can eat either before or after your shift. And, the roles range from greeting people when they come in or leave, or you're helping them carry their food, or you're a waste steward. We had to give a really nice name to that because it's helping people decide what goes into the, compostable items, the recycling, the garbage, and then, you get to take out the garbage. Fun stuff. Yeah, very diverse roles for volunteers.
But the volunteers all have there's a great vibe to the whole event.
Absolutely.
Because it's like a gigantic family reunion.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, our community is our family, and I think that's really, when we say that the picnic is free, it truly is free. There are no barriers to come in. Everyone should feel welcome and want to attend. All that we ask, really, is that you meet somebody that you didn't know and strike up a conversation, because those relationships built make for a stronger community, and you might find something in common that you just never knew.
Another reason I like the fact that you're moving downtown, it might get people to the picnic that in the past could not get out to Lake Wiseacho.
Absolutely. The city actually has shared with us we should expect that our attendance will increase even more this year because of the centralized location.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about seniors, we're talking about folks with limited transportation, and these folks now can come to the picnic, and that's what we want.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly why we made the move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they can be by the site, and they can have this vision about what everything will be. Now, how can folks volunteer? How can we get you your volunteers?
I love that you asked that, Carl. Uh-huh. So they can either call Encourage, as you said, 715-423-3863. We also have a special email address set up, and it is volunteer@encouragecf.org.
Okay.
So that would be probably the simplest way for them would be to email.
Volunteer@EncourageCF, that's for Community Foundation, .org.
Yes.
And remember, Encourage is INCOURAGE, N for inclusive, courage, the courage to change and move forward.
Beautiful thing you just did.
That is.
Love it.
So,
yes, volunteers always needed.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we've had this discussion this morning. Well, now people know it's happening,
mm-hmm.
and we want you to be involved. It doesn't matter if you were cynical in the beginning, and all of a sudden you're going, "Whoa, they're gonna do it!" Hey, come on board.
It is never too late to get involved,
and especially for the picnic. All hands on deck. Anybody, if you've got any skill at all, we really would encourage you to volunteer.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know I got my homework.
You sure do.
Chelsea and Jenna, it's been a lot of fun this morning. And continued success. I look forward to hearing more progress reports on our community project.
Thanks so much, Carl.
Thanks for
having us, and thanks for your ongoing support.
You're welcome. And with that, folks, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Morning Magazine. As always, it's been brought to you by...